I will.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I guess one's for a vanity that's in the back. Blog
Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote, Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests on Blog Talk Radio as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever been a stepmom? Or do you know someone who is a stepmom? Tell me, would you like to learn more about blended families? You know, the families that are his, hers, and ours. Have you ever wanted to know what a stepmom can do to reach out to her stepchildren? Can you imagine having to choose between your kids and your husband? Tell me, do you know why disciplining kids is such a challenge? That's the million-dollar question. And when was the last time you heard about creating better communications? Or better yet, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that you're looking for? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful as a stepmom? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today, I will be introducing you to my guest, who is a success coach extraordinaire. She will provide us with wonderful, informative, and inspirational lessons and some really, really great advice. I'm pleased to announce that our show today is featured on the front page live at Blog Talk Radio, and I am honored to be a featured host, and we have now over 1.2 million listeners. Also, LinkedIn has announced that my profile was one of the top 5% most viewed during 2012. So thank you to LinkedIn. Now let me tell you about my guest today. She is known as the stepmom coach to many. She knows what it's like to build a strong family for the 21st century. She started coaching women who find themselves falling in love and marrying a man with children from a previous relationship. She has helped them figure out how to build a strong family in today's society. After being a single parent, she met the man of her dreams, who also came with two daughters. Through their roller coaster relationship, she developed some valuable tools to help others shorten the learning curve and start having some peace and harmony in the home. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show Claudette Chavanet. Hi, Claudette. How are you doing?
Hi, January. I'm doing great, and thank you for having me.
I'm thrilled to have you on the show. How do you pronounce your last name?
My last name is pronounced Chenevere.
Chenevere. Lovely, yes. Lovely. Well, you are a stepmom, and you're willing to share your expertise and your experience with other families. And, you know, why is it important for us to know this? Because stepfamilies are now becoming quite there's so many of them. There's so many in the country.
Yeah.
Why is this happening?
Well, the thing is, if you look at the divorce rate, which is hovering around the 50% mark for first-time marriages, many of those people end up remarrying. And if you look at other statistics, like widows or widowers, especially if they're young couples who their spouse passed away, or mm-hmm. single parents, single moms. I mean, all of them will eventually meet and marry someone of their dreams. And therefore, you know, it's something we don't take the time to take account in, is that there are a lot more set families out there than we realize. And, you know, statistically, we see numbers for married, remarried couples, but we don't take into account those that live together that also form step families. So they're mm-hmm. everywhere. We just don't see them because they just look like everybody else.
Well, you know, on my personal, I'll share this. My husband and I, we've been married 43 years now. However, we started out as a blended family. He had a son from his first marriage, and I had two daughters from my first marriage. Then we had one of our own. So we were the classic his, hers, and ours. You know, 40 years ago, you didn't hear about that so much. Yeah. But now, everyone, as you said, practically everyone knows someone who's involved in a step family situation. What are some of the differences between a traditional family and the step family apart from the kids?
Well, the thing is, and it's important that we talk about it today because, as you said, you know, 30, 40 years ago, we didn't talk about it because we assumed everything was the same. The reality of today is that, you know, when you have another parent involved in raising that child, that means there's three, four, sometimes five adults involved in raising these kids. It makes it really challenging to understand, okay, how am I supposed to raise these kids? My home isn't mine alone anymore, meaning that there's another person that's involved in raising this child. Now, what happens is that these children often go from one home to another, meaning that these kids don't have the traditional one-home family. Mm-hmm. And I know it's not the case for all children, but most of them at least go to another home at some point, you know, over the month, over the summer. Therefore, it makes it challenging to establish house rules, the role in the family. It questions the authority of another person in the home, where in the traditional family that wouldn't be the case.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of adjusting. And, you know, you think about it, it's really tough on these kids because they'll be in one environment with one set of parents and rules, and then they have to become so adaptable because they go back and forth. It's very challenging for these children, don't you agree?
Oh, of course. I mean, the children have a hard time understanding what's expected of them, especially if the house rules or the parenting styles are very different. So these kids are often walking on eggshell, trying to remember, oh, yes, this house, this is how I'm supposed to behave. In this house, this is how what's expected of me. And, you know, if you're talking about homework and clothes and their possession, they have to remember a lot more than in a traditional family where the kids have all their belongings in one place. So, you know, we're asking a lot of these kids when we're having them go from one home to another.
When you're looking at this, do you think this bodes well for these kids as far as the rest of their life? Because they're obviously they're becoming so much more adaptable at such a younger age. Do you think that helps them?
Yeah, it does. I mean, there's been studies, long-term studies done on children of divorce that live in more than one house. What makes them adaptable and resilient to life is how the parents deal with the divorce and how they co-parent. So, you know, to really help these children, it's so important for the adults to act in a responsible manner in the interest of the child, meaning that, you know, you don't fight in front of the kids. You don't bad-mouth the other parent. You don't, you know, belittle or, you know, what's going on in the other house. because then the child has a sense of having to choose between parents, and no child wants to be put in that position.
Oh, no, no. You know, we're going to take a break and hear about your host. And when we come back with Claudette Chevernay, we're going to talk more about some of the biggest challenges that step-parents deal with. And also she's going to tell us about her website and where we can get her book and her radio show. We'll be right back.
Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back with the Stepmom Coach. And Claudette, could you give us your website information and tell us where we can get your books and a little bit about your radio show?
Yes, definitely. So my website is www.stepmomcoach.com. Okay. And I also host a weekly radio show on Blog Talk Radio, and that is the Stepmom's Toolbox. And I host every Wednesday afternoon, and I have different guests talking about step-family and step-mom issues.
Okay.
And I also have a book that I wrote called 31 Days to Better Communication, where I talk about different ways to communicate, talk with another person, and to, you know, bridge the gap that happens in the step-family where you are able to find ways to get more closer, more intimacy, and connected with your spouse and your stepkids.
Oh, wonderful. Now, what are some of the biggest challenges that step-parents deal with today? I mean, gosh, it's challenging enough just raising kids, well, with two people, but then when you throw in three or four or five, it gets really complicated, doesn't it?
It does, it does. So the first thing is to trying to be on the same page. You know, parenting style, we all have different parenting styles, and those are based on how we were raised as children and our environment, what we like, what we don't like, our values or beliefs, and so that's how we raise children. And so oftentimes when you come together, the people who our parents don't often have the exact parenting style. And so that is something that is a challenge, especially if you have more than one parent. So now instead of dealing with just two adults, you're dealing with three or four, as I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
The other challenge is to understand, okay, what is my role in this family, especially if you're a step-parent? Do I step in? Do I step back? Do I discipline? Do I not discipline? And so because it's so different from a traditional family where you grew up with the children and you get to understand and learn the children as they grow, you come in the middle of their development. And if you weren't part of their history of their growing, then you know there's a part missing. And so you feel sometimes like an outsider. So that's another challenge.
Uh-huh.
Another challenge is, you know, thinking that, you know, this will get better on its own. I don't need to do much. You know, this is just a phase. And although it is true in part, if you don't educate yourself, if you don't understand what makes this kind of family different from a traditional family, you may end up being more resentful, angry, you know, not wanting to get involved in the children's lives. And there's so many things that can happen. And oftentimes people say, well, the kids are little, you know, it's challenging, and once they go to college, then it's over. And I have, my kids are in their 30s, and they have kids of their own, so we're grandparents, making a different kind of challenge, being a fifth parent in a with grandchildren. So, you know, the other parents are still involved in these kids' lives, and so you can't say this is over once the kids go to college. It's a different kind of set of rules.
Oh, sure, sure. What do you, what are your thoughts about family counseling? I know at various times during our marriage with our blended family, we did seek out counseling because it just seemed it was so helpful to have an objective third party sit in and help us get through it. Do you recommend that for people?
I highly recommend it. And I would recommend it with someone who understands step family systems. You know, because I've personally, my husband and I have gone through counseling many times at different phases. We even had one counselor at one point who told my husband and I to just, you know, why don't you just get a divorce and start over, because it was too hectic. And I looked at my husband and I said, no, this isn't part of the deal. I mean, we've gone through this once. When I said I would get back with another person, I meant it to last, not to be a trial period. And so we sought another therapist who understood how our type of family was different from traditional family. So it's really important to shop around for a coach or a therapist or a counselor who understands what it's like to be in a step family, either through training, education, or personal experience, so that they will understand some of the challenges that are unique to being a step family.
I think you're right. And I think that it's very common in these situations for people to get so frustrated that, as you said, they're ready to throw in the towel or to get divorced. It's so challenging, and it's very important to have someone, a professional, who can help you work your way through it and not give up.
And I'd like to say that a lot of times people wait until it's too late to really you know, get back into the game. And so before any problems start, really look into making some, getting some support or some help. And I always tell my clients, start with a vision. What kind of family do you envision having? And then talking with a professional, they'll tell you, well, does it make sense or not? Is it realistic? Because sometimes we have this vision. I grew up with Brady Bunch and the Sound of Music, and it looks so perfect, so easy. Well, that's not the reality. And so sometimes we need a reality check as to what makes sense in this kind of relationship. And so even in the real beginning of a relationship, if you can get with someone that will help you, you know, create that vision and have a game plan. What are we going to do when some of the situations or problems come up? How are we going to handle it? So it's always better to have these conversations before you have a problem, so you know how to handle them, rather than wait until it's too late and then you can't find any solutions to what's going on.
Oh, yeah. I think that's very good advice, to be proactive when you go into this and get your help and set everything up before it, you know, you think it's going to be good, and then it's all, there's always going to be problems. So you really need to be ready for that. You know, we're going to take a break and hear from my sponsor, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about disciplining and who comes first in the step families, the spouse or the kids. We'll be right back.
Are you a fitness professional, a trainer, or a coach? Would you like consistent and timely updates on your team's performance? We have a completely customizable app that can give you real-time information via the internet or your handheld phone. Track the performance of your client's progress with their physical fitness regimen. Track team members' performance or schedule a workout session. Meet up at the gym, on the bike trail, or wherever your physical activities take you. The app is called Socially Fit, or SoFit, and can be found on the iTunes Store. Look for the blue Socially Fit icon. When combined with data analysis capabilities, you not only feel the effects of your fitness routine, you also see the graphical progress of your results. The app makes the complex simple, so that more of your time is spent sculpting your physique, with less time tracking your results with old-fashioned pen and paper. Download it today to begin a new year with data to show your progress in meeting your goals. Are you socially fit?
I hope everyone out there is socially fit and are going to be this year. Now let's talk, Claudette, about disciplining kids. Why is it more challenging in stepfamilies?
Well, the thing is, especially depending on the age of the child, if you are a step parent and you're coming into the life of your kids when they're preteens or teenagers, and you as a step parent want to discipline your kids, they're going to look at you and say, "Hey, you're not my mom. You know, how can you? Or you're not my dad. You can't tell me what to do." And you know, in some essence, they're sort of right. What's important to understand is that before you can start disciplining your stepkids, you need to have built trust with them. You know, you can't expect a child to understand and be told what to do by total strangers without them saying, "Hey, you know, you can't tell me what to do." And I know this is such a hot topic. So many step-parents out there are saying, "Hey, if they live under my roof, they're going to abide by my rules."
Yeah.
And I'm not saying to not abide by your rules. What I'm suggesting is, especially in the beginning of a relationship where the kids are coming into your life, where, you know, the first maybe 3 to 6 months, maybe even a year in some cases, you let the biological parent be the disciplinarian. Now, that doesn't mean you are not a part of the decision-making. What you do is, with your spouse, you come together to decide what those rules are in your home, and together you enforce them. But the parent, the biological parent, should be the one with you beside there, not alone, but with you there, say to the kids, "Hey, listen, these are the rules of the house, and I'm going to make sure that they enforce with the help of my spouse." So it shows the kids that you're having a united front, that the decisions are being made together and not by a step-parent alone. So it prevents you from being put in the position of being a bad step-parent. You know, those images we see about Cinderella's stepmom and being the one making all the discipline. And that's the reason why I think a lot of parents don't like to be called a step-parent, because of those images. The reality is, you know, it's a question of coming together at a united front. And once you build trust with your kids, especially if you're talking about teenagers and preteens, you build the trust by spending time together, by getting to know who this person is as an individual and not as an extension of another parent.
Mm-hmm. You know, so there is a step-parents out there who haven't heard, "You're not my mom, you're not my dad," and it goes with the territory. Then you have the situation of who's going to be the bad cop, who's going to be the good cop, because, you know, I think the most important thing that we discovered through our experience was that even though we would disagree on things, as you said, we never showed that to the kids. We always present a united front to them, and then we would take our disagreements privately and work it out between us or with a counselor. I think the children need to know that you're in this together and you're both going to, you know, toe the line and hang in there for them. Now, who comes first in step families? This is a good question. The spouse or the kids? And what is the reason?
And again, this is another big hot debate, because a lot of parents are saying, "Well, I have to put my kids first because they've been through so much." Research has showed that if you put the marriage first, the couple first, and put the children as your first responsibility, it makes a huge difference for the children. They need to see what a strong, healthy marriage looks like. That means that you and your spouse take the time to be together, to take the time to communicate with one another. It's important that you co-parent and, you have a united front, meaning you need to spend time as husband and wife, as friends together, and then the kids will feel a lot more confident, a lot more safe. They'll feel more, there's a stability in the home. They won't be so scared. There's a sense of security being created when they know the parents are taking care of each other, of themselves, that they have the time for the kids. Again, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it just gives the children, they feel more secure when they see that united front. Don't you agree?
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course. Because then it prevents the kids from having to jump into a role that doesn't belong to them, like being a partner to their parent, to be a parent to their siblings. You know, they really need to see that mom and dad or mom and the step-parent and their parent are really working at making this marriage, their relationship, really strong. And so it shows them how to do this. And I'll share, when my stepdaughters were married, I mean, we've had a lot of struggles with my stepkids and my son when they were young. I mean, it wasn't a perfect relationship, and that's why I do what I do, because we struggled so much, and he made a lot of mistakes. And so I'm wanting to help others not make the same mistakes we did. And one of the things that we weren't doing is the discipline. That was one of our biggest problems, is understanding who should discipline who. And we learned the hard way. And once we started putting our marriage first, once we really focused on what was important, was to, make this marriage strong and healthy, our kids started to settle down and be easier to parent. And when my stepdaughters married 3-4 years ago, one of the things they said to us was, thank you for showing us how to be, in a relationship, to be a couple, to be married, because that helped us when we chose the man we wanted to be with and to marry, what kind of relationship we wanted. So it helped us to make wiser decisions for our marriage.
Oh, that's wonderful. And, Claudette, I want to thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your information about step-parenting for my listeners. And I hope to have you back again soon.
Thank you. I'd love that.
Wonderful. We hope our listeners have enjoyed our show today. Our upcoming guests for this week are all exciting, eclectic, and energizing. This is the show where you hear inspiring information that will help you to become successful, too. If you've enjoyed our show today, please click the follow tab under my picture and become a regular listener. I would love to welcome you to our wonderful No Whining world. We love sharing our stories and secrets for success. It's our hope we can encourage all of our listeners to emulate our guests today and every day. Remember my mantra, if you think it, you can do it. So for now, dear listeners, I want all of you to stop whining, start smiling, and start sharing our success show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my wonderful guest, the stepmom coach, Claudette Chabert. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Story. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity, plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.